Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I don't mind it. Cause I got her riding on that shotgun side. With that take me to the sunrise, look inside her eyes. Now we're flying. Yeah, we're flying. We got 10 miles of open road. That's in the rain. Good to go. There's some baggage sitting in the trunk I see. In the rear view mirror looking back at me. No, I don't hide it. Cause she's dancing, singing out to every song. And she's always got all of the lyrics wrong. But she don't mind it. No, she's still shining. That's in the radio. We got both windows down and no one around. Don't have to take it slow. We're good to go. Yeah, we're good to go. I'm not looking for a shortcut, even when it gets rough. Lean on in and give me a kiss. We got 10 miles of open road. Last in the radio. We got both windows down and no one around. Don't have to take it slow. We got 10 miles of open road.
Conversations with the Dead, The Secret of All Things, is a nonfiction book in which author Marshall P. Morris writes about his investigation into the 1963 disappearance and murder of a 17-year-old woman of American Indian descent. And in the unfolding investigation, Marshall discovers that his meeting with God in 1958 was real, as were his past memories of the fall of Jerusalem. The book takes a 180 from the woman's murder when, in 2016, the murdered woman arranges a meeting between herself, the author, and one other in which the secrets of life, death, heaven, hell, spirits, angels, immortality, reincarnation, and God are revealed. It's an eye-opener into a world hidden from our view that few see, let alone experience. The book will hold you in its pages till the very last word. Distributed through Amazon Books in the Blue Series. The book is available in the 6x9 Blue Book, in the Blue eBook, and in Kindle. Get it today. Beaming to you like a whirlwind. In syndication and on all the apps worldwide. You are listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio Network.
And here it is. It's Friday already. I can't believe, James, how fast the week has actually gone by. But here it is. I can't wait to Sunday. We got a new show on Sunday on our network. It's called, well, Sunday's Truckers After Dark. It's a great show. We're going to have great interviews. We're going to talk about paranormal, scary stories. We're going to talk about the trucking industry and a lot of, well, great music to go rolling on. Well, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. You know, you speak about it going fast. I'll tell you, the month of August has flown by. I know you talk about how time flies, but boy, it seemed like August has really went by. And yes, Sunday's going to be a great show. We're also going to have Robert Guffey come on.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a great guest. Well, you know, remember we were talking last night about the toilet paper shortage and how people were fighting to get toilet paper, of all things. You know, I guess we can blame a lot of that on the old phone companies, right? But like Pacific Northwest, Bell, AT&T, you could all go down to your local phone booth and steal a phone book. And you didn't have to worry about toilet paper if something was, you know, short. You can't find that anymore. You don't even get phone books anymore.
No, actually, I did get a phone book. I still have a landline in here right over there. But, yeah, you're right, though. They're rare. Phone books are rare. You know what's even more rare is phone booths. And I know somebody's got one.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, it was right next to, well, the where I used to keep my motorcycle, but we tore that down. Well, anyway, you know, again, in Europe now, they're starting to face a shortage of toilet paper, just like we did.
That is, they didn't learn from the first time that came around. And you touched on it yesterday. I still can see those videos of that one store where they're coming around the corner when they rung the bell in slow motion and, you know, elbows flying, the poor old ladies on the ground. It was horrible, Gary.
Well, it wasn't just that. Even Costco, you go in Costco and they would bring out a pallet and people are punching each other. I want 4 packs of toilet paper. You know, my wife is a hoarder. And, you know, I go into the laundry room and there's still about 30 packs of 8 rolls of toilet paper in there. Like, we got enough, you know, to the end of the world.
It sounds like you're all set for the next couple apocalypses anyway, so you're good to go on that end.
Unless I eat my wife's cooking, then I'll go through it really fast. Well, you know, we've had a couple people on about flat Earth. Well, now scientists are saying, well, guess what? The universe is flat.
Oh, no. That is more fuel for fire for those folks over there on the flat Earth edge. But that, I haven't heard that one yet, but I'm not surprised, Gary.
That is in today's news. A scientist said, well, the shape of the universe is flat. Now, again, you know, what it's going to be like in 3 months from now, but that's going to get the flat earthers just, you know, going. I told you the earth is flat. It has to be flat if the universe is flat.
Exactly. What's that do with the theory of the parallel universes? I guess they're all flat and laying on top of each other.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I buy this one.
I don't either.
Can you believe a lady out of the UK is totally allergic to gravity? Jeez, gravity. That's right. I have read that thing like four times. It has, and that's in the New York Post. And she claims that she has to sleep in bed 23 hours a day because as soon as she gets out of bed, she gets nauseous, she gets dizzy, and she gets sick and throws up.
First of all, we really don't even know what gravity is. It sounds like she has something going on with her inner ear or something. But how could you be allergic to gravity? That would be the worst. I don't even know if that's a thing. Oh, my goodness.
Well, maybe she'll float away.
Yeah, she needs to be riding one of those anti-gravity planes where they, you know, they practice for orbit.
Remember yesterday I was talking about the bear that went into 7-Eleven and liked Twinkies? Well, now that's all over the news media and TikTok and YouTube. People, you know, got the video of him going into the 7-Eleven, looking at the clerk, and then helping itself to one package of, you know, Twinkies. And as soon as the clerk says, no, you can't have one, it grabs two. And then the clerk says, you can't have two, so it grabs three, kind of gives him the evil look and shows his teeth and then goes right out the door. Does it every single day.
That is just remarkable. You know, listen, boy, oh boy, the day that he does it, he's not allowed to have any. Because, again, I said yesterday, he kind of socializes, you know, humans with food. And when you can't get food, what's next on the menu? It's going to be scary.
Yeah, like humans. Or maybe there's a place that sells alcohol next door to the 7-Eleven. And it goes in and gets, you know, beer and all that stuff. Could do it at 7-Eleven, but maybe it's not a greedy bear.
But it might not. Maybe it doesn't have that beer with the emblem of the bear on it, too.
I don't know about that. But, yeah. You know, the IRS accidentally post personal information on 120,000 taxpayers.
Wow. That's a big accident. Let me tell you something. That could be a nightmare in the waiting. Can you imagine you being the fallout on one of those?
Well, I sure don't want my Social Security number, my address, my income, and all my information. Or if I'm delinquent on my taxes or I'm current... For people could just, wherever it got published at, I mean, it got out to the public. And that is scary. How could the IRS make a mistake and 120,000 people's information is given out?
Exactly. That's a big mistake. I mean, come on, think about that for a minute. That could ruin a lot of people's lives real quick. And then I'm sure they would have the gall to say, hey, you know, you owe us some taxes, even though they've been robbed.
Well, that's a different thing. And, you know, the IRS, right, is going to hire all these 80,000 auditors. And they're saying, oh, we're not going to go after the lower income people. And we're not going to go after the people that make under $400,000 a year. We're going to go after with all these new, you know, we're only going to go after people making $400,000 or plus. You know, the IRS is noted for going after people that make $25,000 or less. And people that make under $100,000 a year, they love them. They just love them because, you know what? They know that the average person can't afford to go hire a tax attorney or have a CPA there during the audit. So most of the people, you know, they feel pressured and they pay. So if the IRS says you owe an extra $1,300, you pay it. Because you don't want somebody knocking on your door and taking your TV away. While you're watching Married with Children, if you remember that show.
Or the Trailer Park Boys, either one. But, yeah, listen, that could be a nightmare. And I think the bulk of the population anyway falls into that category. So that's like a treasure trove.
Oh, it is. And a big shout out to Barb, to Christopher George. Hi, Christopher. Well, I think we got him. Don't we coming on the show in the future?
We do. He's coming on, I believe, October, a Sunday in October he's going to come on. And listen, Christopher's always a great guest.
Yeah, we got Graham McDonald and a bunch of people there on chat. And we got a bunch of people on Apple chat also. Well, you know what? NASA, remember I keep talking about the flares, solar flares. You know, they keep belching towards Earth. Well, there's another one, AR3089. Has developed a huge flare, but it's an X flare.
Oh, no.
Then you know the difference between an X and the other, right?
Yeah, that's the one. Isn't that the one that's the Kensington that was kind of equal to the Kensington event in the 1800s?
Yeah, if it hits us, you don't have to worry about the internet.
No, you don't have to worry about the internet, driving or cell phones or getting money out of the ATM or any of that good stuff.
Well, that is scary, and we keep talking about it, and I keep telling people, be prepared, have some food, you know, have water and all that stuff, and be prepared in case, you know, we're playing craps here. I mean, the government doesn't want to shore up the grid, but they want to shore up other stuff. I don't know. And this student loan forgiveness, it came out in Wall Street today. It's going to cost every taxpayer about $2,500.
Yeah, it, and you know the bulk of the taxpayers is in that same category that you were talking about just a little bit ago. You know, when does it end with this stuff? And what's going to be the repercussions of that in the long run, long term?
I don't know. Like I mentioned the other night, people drawing Social Security, I don't know how they're going to survive. Because, you know, they were expecting this coming year a 11% increase in Social Security. Well, now that's not going to happen. It's going to be more like maybe 2 or 3%. And inflation right now has caused the average person that gets their Social Security check, it's costing them like $200 to $300 more a month to live. And if they're trying to live on Social Security alone, maybe the Cayman Islands or someplace like that. I don't know. Well, you know, we just averted what scientists say, another ice age. Because of, you know, the drought is going on, the heating and all the...
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This stuff and all the pollution, which some people say that's, you know, man-made. Other people say, yeah, it's all farce. But scientists now are saying it is because of all this stuff we dumped in the air, atmosphere, it has actually increased the Earth's temperature and has kept us from going into an ice age.
I tell you what, I think the Earth goes through these cycles anyway, but, you know, it's true. We've had guests on here that's been on both sides of the fence, and they're both scientists. So who do you believe? I don't know. I've heard both sides. I know you have, too.
Well, you know, everybody has their own views. It's like the Earth, you know, is flat, and now they're saying the universe is flat. So which one do you want to believe?
Oh, I know. It's I tell you, it's like every day there's a new theory out and some evidence to back it up. It's got me spinning out over here.
Anyway, we're going to be back with our great guest tonight. We got Marshall Morris. He's an attorney. He wrote this book on reincarnation. We're going to find all out about it here right after this. So stay tuned. You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio.
The Mount Blanco Fossil Museum has 100 fossil tracks, mastodon and mammoth skulls, hundreds of digs, real unicorn skulls, giant bison, fossil horse, dinosaurs, bones of a 40-foot crocodile, man-made objects in stone, the Missouri Mystery Rock, a cast of the wagon tracks in limestone? We do. The Mount Blanco Fossil Museum is celebrating their reopening after the storm of 2021 all Labor Day weekend, September 5th through 9th, 2022. Join us for coffee and check out the past. We're at 124 West Main Street, Crosbyton, Texas, 79322. Check out our website, www.mtblanco.com, or call us for more info at 806-675-7777.
Hi. This is Val Von Torn of Metatron Power and Light. You're listening to Gary Anderson and Night Dreams Talk Radio.
Marshall Morris, born and raised in Illinois, is an accomplished appellate attorney, practicing in the area of marital and family law for 49 years. Marshall handles family law cases in the Illinois Circuit Courts, the Illinois Appellate Courts, and the Illinois Supreme Court. As an author, Marshall has written a nonfiction book, Conversations with the Dead, The Secret of All Things. The book took 4 years to write and began with the author's investigation into the 1963 murder of a 17-year-old woman, who the author first saw in 1999 in ghostly form, and who arranged for the author and one other to sit down and talk with her in 2016 for 5 hours. The book takes a 180-degree turn from the author's investigation into the woman's murder into an investigation of life, death, heaven, hell, immortality, reincarnation, man, spirits, angels, and God. And in the end, the author finds that all of his unexplained past memories of Jerusalem turn out to be real. Marshall's style of writing can best be described as informal and conversational, in which the reader is made to feel that Marshall is talking directly to them, one-on-one. Marshall's approach to writing creates a book in which the reader becomes immersed in the story and cannot put the book down until they come to the end. Marshall regularly writes articles and commentaries based on his personal experiences that are posted to his author site, marshallmorris.com.
Well, welcome to the show, Marshall. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing okay.
Well, I got a couple questions to ask you, and I'm sure the listeners want to, you know these questions. When you were young, what did you want to be when you grew up?
That's an interesting question. Actually, I didn't have much of a choice in the matter. My mother said, I'm going to become an attorney because I argue all the time. And at 4 years old, that was the end of the discussion. She said, my brother is going to go into medicine. The story ended right there.
Did your brother go into medicine?
Yep, he became a pharmacist.
And you became a lawyer. Wow. You know, yep. I was about the same age, and I always wanted to be a doctor. And Christmas time, I kept telling my mom and dad, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a doctor. And I want this doctor's kit for Christmas. And Christmas came, and we opened up the presents, and I opened up this thing, and I first thought, wow, this is a cool doctor's thing. So I open it up, and it was a nurse's kit. And my mom says, well, there's nothing wrong, son. You could become a nurse. No, I want to become a doctor. Well, guess what? I have a big mouth, and I became a talk show host, like going on 49 years ago, just a couple days away from 49.
Well, we're both on the same track. I've been doing this for 49 years, too.
Oh, wow. Have you ever regretted being a lawyer?
Yeah, there are times that you do feel that you should have gone into something else. I mean, I've had some pretty dangerous cases. I've had a car blown up in the driveway. I've had a client shot up 6 times on the way to court. Mother shot up twice, coming to kill the judge and I. Another person brought a high-powered pellet gun into court to shoot up our cars. I mean, you know, when you handle family law, it can be an explosive area of law, and you've got to be careful and try to work something out so people don't go off the deep end. So it can be touchy.
Well, I can see it. Sometimes, you know, somebody's not married for a long period of time and they feel like, you know, they acquired a lot of stuff before they got married. And next thing they know, it's all being divided up. And some people feel like they're getting the short end, either the spouse. So I can see that. And then they can be, well, you know, I want everything he has. Hey, how much would it cost to get rid of the guy?
I thoroughly understand that.
Oh, yeah. So when you were a kid, you were, what, riding a bike, and what happened?
Well, actually, I wasn't riding the bicycle. I was sitting next to a tree on what was corner of Kedzie and Peterson Avenue. There was no stop sign, no traffic light, nothing. And you actually took your life in your own hands if you try to cross that street. Anyhow, something said to me, jump off that bicycle now. And I obeyed. I jumped off the bicycle, and two cars crashed into each other and came forward exactly to where I was sitting. And the hood of the 52 Buick, see, I remember this, comes flying off the Buick automobile and slices over where I would have been sitting on the bike and would have killed me. And as I'm laying on the ground watching all this unfold, the passenger woman, her head hits the windshield and splatters glass and blood. It was terrible, all over the place. By the time it was over, there was car parts all over me, but around me. But I was safe. I avoided the whole thing.
Did you ever have nightmares from that? Because, I mean, you know, how old were you when that happened, roughly?
12.
Yeah, 12 years old, and you see something like that right in front of you, and you realize, I could have been in the center of that, you know, collision. And then, you know, seeing what happened, you know, that you weren't, I mean, that would be something that would... Did you have nightmares growing up over it?
I didn't have nightmares, but I could replay the look on that woman's face as her head hit the glass, and, I mean, the blood just splattered all over the place. That is something you just don't forget.
No.
And you say, thank God I got off that bike when I did.
Did she survive, hopefully?
I don't think so. I don't think anybody survived that crash. I mean, it was terrible. I don't know. It was a very bad crash. That's all I can say.
You know, I only remember one crash when I was probably about 14 years old. They were still working on Interstate 5 up in Seattle. That's the main freeway. And they had, between Kent and Seattle, they had a lot of off-ramps that weren't finished. So they put, like, cement barricades across. That's before they put water and plastic. If you hit it, you know, supposedly you'll survive. And my brother noticed this Volkswagen going off the off-ramp, and he knew that off-ramp, you go about 100 feet, and there's the cement bulkhead. So he, you know, followed her and, you know, to make sure she was okay. And her car came to rest, and I remember getting out of his car, going over, looking at the damage, and my brother says, don't go any farther, and I did, and I'll be honest with you, her body was still in the car, her head was in front of the car.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, when you're that age, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, it's something you don't forget.
Well, did you, when you were young, you know, preteen or teenager, did you have any other strange things?
Yes. 1958, I was in my room, my parents' house, and a figure walked into my room wearing a ancient garb, carrying a staff, and as he walked towards you, the staff would move with him, and his eyes were red, like looking into a nuclear furnace. And as he came close, I kept asking him, well, what do you want? What do you want? And I had no idea who this was. And he takes his staff and puts it under my chin and tapped. And when that happened, the automatic response that you grab the staff, and it was there. And I kept, and then I released. And as I was doing that, all of a sudden, memories light up in my mind of Jerusalem. And he then walks out of the room as he came in, and he was gone. Now, I had no idea who this was, but the memories were there. I mean, I saw the slaughter that took place when the Romans raped the city and destroyed it. And there was a procession that I saw with the Ark of the Covenant. And I had memories of my wife, Devorah, my girlfriend who I took up with after my wife was killed there, Naomi, and my best friend, Jonathan, was also, I saw him in my memories. And together, we were pretty ruthless as far as killing Roman soldiers. We were very good at it. But we were the protectors of the Ark of the Covenant. we were the last to see it. And what made it ironic is at the end of the book, when we finally meet, we have identical memories. We are brought together. Our memories are exact as to everything that was in the room that the Ark was hidden in. And I didn't know who this was until we talked to Veronica, which is the lady in white, the spirit, who we saw in, I saw in 1999, and we sat down with her for 5 hours, and we were talking to her about her murder and what happened, and then she started talking about life and death and God, which is not his name in heaven, and then she said, well, you know, the master came to see you, and you got to remember now, I'm an attorney, and I'm listening to this, and I had no idea who the master was, and I said, well, who's the master? And she says, you know him as God. Well, at that point, I went on to another topic because I wanted to take a few seconds to think about what she just said, because God doesn't come visit people. I mean, normally, I mean, he may, but what was he doing visiting a 12-year-old? So I came back, and I started asking her questions. All right, tell me what his name in heaven is and who is he? And she said, he's known as the master because he controls all things. I said, okay, describe him. She described him to a T, exactly what came to see me in 1958. And this conversation took place in 2016. Now, you may say to me, and I'm going to just digress for a second, well, how do you know that you really saw God, even though the spirit says so? Well, first of all, the spirit said, I was sent back by God on a mission. But another spirit was sent back, Naomi, who I know from 70 AD, if you remember. And she pointed me to the book Revelations. There is a section in the book 114. Now, I don't know Revelations from anything. But in it, John describes God in one sentence, dead bang accurate. He calls God's eyes like looking into hot red coals. Same thing I saw. Now, Revelations was probably made, I want to say, before the fall of Jerusalem. And this, I was told that he really never saw God. The prophet Ezekiel did, and he plagiarized the description. But it's not relevant how he got it into the book. It's relevant that it is identical description of what I saw and what Veronica said. So I have to take it that that's what took place, and that's what triggered everything that followed in the book.
Very interesting. You know, to have that, yeah, reincarnation, I really believe that there is something. I just don't believe we're like a hard drive. It fails on the computer and it's gone and you toss it in the garbage. I hope there is more than life than, you know, what we're going through. But again, it is really confusing when you really think about it. Well, hey, Marshall, we got to take like a 2-minute break. We'll be right back with you and we'll find out more. What happened with Marshall? You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio. Don't forget our new Sunday show dedicated to truckers. It's called Sunday's Truckers After Dark. It's at 7 p.m. It's 2 hours long. Great interviews. We're going to cover subjects like this. We're going to cover scary subjects. We're going to cover it all. And we're going to also talk what's going on in the trucking industry. And we're going to have a lot of great country music also. So stay tuned for that on Sunday. We'll be right back.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
Searching for deeper answers when it comes to experiences with the Sasquatch and other cryptids? One man who seems to be taking that deeper dive is Ron Moorhead. His incredibly clear, scientifically vetted Bigfoot Sierra sounds will send shivers. In addition to these recordings, he's written two books, Voices in the Wilderness, which is the chronicle of interactions that went on for years up in the Sierra Nevada mountains, and then his latest, The Quantum Bigfoot, where he bravely goes where others fear and takes it head on, again backed by science. The disappearing tracks, the pixelated images, and the screams in the dark. All of this and more can be found at ronmoorhead.com. That's www.ronmoorhead.com. Do you remember how great paranormal talk radio was in the 80s and 90s? Night Dreams Talk Radio brings back to you talk radio like you remember. With your host, Gary Anderson, broadcasting to you live from his secret compound deep in the great Northwest. Now, here's Gary.
And here I am. And I was watching Johnny Carson reruns, the old reruns, you know, from when he was on TV, found it on cable, and I was watching that. I like Ed McMahon. Here's Johnny. Well, you know, again, you know, I can't wait to Sunday's show. I just can't wait to play music, have great guests, so make sure you kind of tune into it. Also, if you're not listening to us on iHeartRadio, you should be listening to us on iHeartRadio. A lot of people on chat here on tonight. Anyway, we're back with Marshall, and wow, you've had some experiences. What was it like killing Romans, by the way?
Enjoyable. I'm sorry to say that. Both Jonathan and I, that was his name and mine was Moshe. Really, the book is very involved, and people should really read it. The Conversations with the Dead, The Secret of All Things. It goes into all these facets of what took place with our lives. And you mentioned reincarnation, but what was explained to me is that inside each one of us is what you call a soul, but is a living entity called the spirit. And that spirit is who you are. All your past lives are rolled into this spirit. And so when your body fails you and dies, the spirit is ejected. So when you say reincarnation, well, the spirit will get another body, but the one that just that they put in the ground and buried or burned, it's gone. It doesn't come back. You can look at the Egyptian pharaohs and see how they fared.
Yeah,
well, that body is gone.
You're so right. But you know, again, isn't it kind of strange when you really think about it, Marshall? That you know, young kids under 7 years old, a lot of them have memories of their past lives like that. The kid out of the UK that, you know, remembered that he was a fighter pilot and described, you know, the outfit he was with and names of people and all this stuff that a young kid would not know. He was like 5 years old and he seemed to know all this. And then I had another person on the show like 4 years ago his adopted son. They were looking at one of the Titanic exhibits when it was going, you know, across the country. And his son says, I was on the Titanic, and was detailing a whole bunch of stuff about when the ship got, you know, hit the ice and what happened.
Oh, yeah.
And again, a kid that age wouldn't know all this stuff. And he did a lot of research. And because he was a psychiatrist, he did a lot of research on this. And I tell you, a lot of young people do have memories of past lives, but it seems like somewhere between 6 and 7, they lose that memory.
Well, here's what I believe takes place. When the spirit comes back in another body, in theory, those memories are supposed to be locked up while you're in that body. But sometimes the spirit remembers. Something happens that jars the memory. I mean, some people have hypnosis that sends them back, and they look at the they can look at it. If they're an old spirit, Veronica said to me that you will get glimpses of your past lives if you're an old spirit, because that happens. So I would not say it's unusual. I would also say that, as I recall, Anne Frank came back as a Swedish girl, and she remembered everything about the place she lived and everything else. So past lives do come home. And actually, if you want to look at it, both Courtney and I have identical memories. And if someone were to say to you, what are the odds of two people having an identical memory of where the Ark of the Covenant is, what's in the room? It's impossible.
I would think it would be highly, you know, impossible for two separate people that haven't communicated to know that.
That's correct. The only way to explain that is they both were there.
Boy. And how did you feel you got the honor of the one of the most holy things there is?
I think that both of us, if I recall correctly, we were very, I want to use the word ferocious, fighters, warriors, but we were given the honor of protecting the Ark of the Covenant. That was our job, and that's what we did. And I think because of that, we were brought back together again. And there's something going on. If you went back and you read the book the first time, it's a great story. But if you go back and you start looking at the connections, how things took place, something is moving these players around. I mean, I don't know if you read the book thoroughly, but the girl on the left of me, the book was 40-something years old. She saw Veronica in Maryland, because her father summoned her there. The girl on the other side of me saw Veronica walking through her place, jumping off her balcony. That's in the story, explains it. But these are this cannot be a coincidence. I think that people were nudged to put this book together. And so there's a lot in this book. Part that you read, and the second part, you got to stop back and take a look and say, well, how did this take place? Why did this take place?
Well, why do you feel it took place?
The book was supposed to be written. That's the first thing. In the book are several things. The first one, you don't have any place other than Revelations, to my knowledge, an accurate description of what God looks like. I mean, all the other books, they talk about God in glorious terms, but nothing in actual hard fact. It says, here he is, and he exists. And that's important, because the United States was formed on the belief of in God we trust. Secondly, the book says, and very seriously, all God wants is for us to treat each other decently. That's it. That's what he wants. But there is a very serious warning in the book for those people who go around butchering other people. They get punished on earth if they catch you, but there's another punishment out there waiting for you. And no, there's no hell, not with a devil running around with a pitchfork. All that doesn't exist. but there is a hell that you will face for what you did.
Okay, now you mentioned there's no devil and hell. Hey, James, you remember that little movie, that Little Nicky?
Yes, Little Nicky with the pineapple.
Yeah, I was hoping that when I go to hell, I was going to see Adolf Hitler get a pineapple put up you know where.
Adolf is reliving everything that he did in the universe every second of the day. Hell is like if you're floating in a pool of water and you have no sensations at all, all you see are the acts that you committed, and that is all you will see until God decides that you've served your penalty, your sentence.
So it'd be like over and over and over again.
Right, and you will go crazy. That's it. You have no stimulation. In fact, spirits, Veronica Fraxon, used to jump off the second balcony of the condo back here. She would walk the parkways here because she liked the sensation of feeling wind in her hair, in her body. It is a sensation of life that they enjoy. And you don't have that sensation when you're just floating around in the universe. You don't see anything. You don't hear anything. You're just there, and you're going to pay that price.
Now, here's the thing. I lost two sons just 2 years ago.
Sorry to hear that.
And I lost them exactly a month apart, exactly to the day and within 15 minutes of each other. That is so crazy. But my one son, Kevin, he has a twin, which is my daughter, Alyssa. She's still living at home. When they were babies, were just a little bit older than babies, when they started talking, their rooms were on the opposite side of the house, and we had a huge house. And me and my wife would be infatuated because here Kevin would be asking Alyssa something, and Alyssa would be clear across the house answering him, and they would have a conversation back and forth. Now, since he's passed on, she claims that he comes to her quite often.
Oh, yeah.
And talks to her, asking her how work is, how she's doing, you know, all kinds of stuff. And she claims it's real.
She is telling you the truth. It is real. And I'll tell you how you can look. There are certain things you can look at. When a spirit, you got to understand, a spirit is made of subatomical particles, which can generate tremendous amounts of energy. And I'll tell you a story about that in a few seconds. But when a spirit hits glass, you'll see a white flash. If a spirit walks into where you are, lights will flash on and off because they're generating tremendous amounts of energy. So you may have a spirit come to visit your daughter and electrical equipment will go crazy. A spirit may talk to her through her mind. A spirit may talk verbally to her. So they do come back.
Well, like Veronica, now, did she come back in a human form?
No. Veronica is a spirit. In other words, if you see her, Veronica was absolutely gorgeous. I'm telling you. She was every young man's dream. She was petite, long black hair that went to the back of her body. She was her back of her neck, you know, by her back. She was of American Indian descent, she said. But she was different in that Veronica could amass horrendous amounts of energy when she wanted to. One time she came in here and she touched. I had three little 40-watt bulbs in the foyer, and the light was so bright you couldn't look at it. It was that bright. But here's what I was going to say to you. When I was writing the book, there was a point that I just was so confused by so many different facts that I said, I can't do it. And that got Veronica upset. And she shut down my computers. I went in my car and I said, I'm leaving. I'm going to go get some money at the bank and I'm gone. Well, the car wouldn't work right. It's a Corvette and it was shut down to where it could only go 50 miles an hour. It was in an emergency mode. I go to the bank. And the teller's computer wouldn't work. Finally, they were able to find a way to give me some money. I went to get some gas. The first gas tank would not work. The pump would fuse. I went to the second one. It wouldn't work. Finally, I said, you win, Veronica. I'll go back and write the book. The pumps turned on. The car started to work. All the equipment worked in the office, and that was the story.
That is interesting. And how old were you when she came to you?
She came in 1999, and I'm 76 now. I turned 76 in just this September. So you'll have to do the math. I don't recall the number, but you know, I was an adult, pretty old, you know.
And were you in a relationship when this happened?
Yes, I was married. And she just walked right through the bedroom. At first, I thought it was one of my wife's daughters who was getting something from the bedroom at 2:30 or something in the morning. I couldn't believe it. But nope, it was not. It was Veronica.
How did you tell your wife what was going on, and how did she respond?
She was okay partially with it, but as I started writing the book, she became concerned because a lot of spirits kept running through this place. I mean, you'd have the cigar smoker would come in, the whole place would fill up cigar smoke, and his girlfriend would walk with him, who would fill the place up with this posy perfume. In fact, let me give you a story so you'll understand. My wife brought in a psychic. She wanted to get rid of what she called evil spirits. And Veronica took that she was interfering in the writing of the book, and that it did not go well for the psychic. First of all, Veronica stood next to my wife and froze the whole side of her, and that I was on the other side of the table, so I felt this huge cold wind go by. And then she put her hands on the psychic's head and fried her brain. She gave her electric shock therapy.
Oh, yeah.
And both of them ran out of here. They were told, do not return. So that's what happened.
Oh, wow. And you also, you saw God. What's God look like?
God.
Now, the reason why I'm asking you this, because when I was a little kid, I asked my grandmother, is there really God? And what does God look like? And she said, Gary, don't ever ask me that again. Don't ask anybody that question because it can drive you crazy. And then I said, what created God? She goes, don't ask that question. So, I mean, what does God look like? I really would like to know. And I'm not being sarcastic. No.
That's okay. The image, in the book I describe it him perfectly, but the image that he showed me, okay, it was a human form. It doesn't mean he takes that form all the time, but that is the form that Veronica said he had in heaven and the form that I saw. He was an old man, an elderly man, who wore like an ancient garb, came over his head and down to the floor almost. He had long white hair, see, like this, and grayish white hair. He had a long whitish gray beard, okay? And he walked, and as he walked, he put the staff down with every step, an old wooden staff. And if you looked in his eyes, normally it would scare the hell out of you because you're looking into a pure energy. But for some reason, I wasn't afraid. And people have said to me, why aren't you dead if you saw God? And I would answer them, well, I didn't go visit him. He came to see me. And if I died, what would be the point of him coming to visit me? He wanted something. I said, but if it makes you feel any better, many years later, my hair turned white. But
well, my hair is white, too, and it's called, I use a bottle on it, and then, you know, then I forget to do it, and then there's white spots. But that is so interesting. Now, is there an Antichrist?
No, I don't believe there is. I don't have any information on that. I would say that I would believe that Christ is a messenger from God. But you see, you have to understand, the way it was told to me is every single person on this planet has a spirit in them. And that spirit is a child of God because spirit is immortal like God. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
So spirit is immortal. Then the spirit lives on. it's an image of God. It is immortal. The human body is nothing but a vehicle that the spirit experienced life.
I wonder, do you know how many times a person can be reincarnated?
Infinite. I can't answer that, but it's infinite. I was told I was back and forth 100 times. But obviously I've done something wrong because I keep coming back.
Well, I don't know. See, I've talked to other people, and they said, you know, you can come back not as a human, too. You can come back as an animal. Do you believe that?
I don't think so. Animal, see here, every animal has a spirit also. And how I came about that was in the book, Veronica talks about Herman the cat. And Herman was a cat that she saw that was shot by a BB gun, that a young man shot the cat. Cat fell into the river and died. And then the cat came back and it became her cat, she said. And she loved this cat. It had green eyes, white. It was white. And it had a spirit, animal spirit. So animals have a spirit and people have a spirit. And I don't think the two meet. At least that's the way it appeared to me.
Interesting. Because, you know, again, we lost one of our dogs here the last couple of years. I swear to God, the dog, every so often I'll feel it jump up on the bed and do its little prance, you know, coming up to the pillow. And then when I turn the light on, it's not there. And I'm really convinced that that dog comes and sees me occasionally.
Wouldn't doubt it at all. I mean, Veronica was talking about how her and the cat would take walks down the parkway. And in the book, I was like blown away that there was a spirit cat. I mean, can you imagine this? Without calling them a ghost, but I'll use the term, a ghost having a ghost pet or a spirit having a spirit pet. I mean, this is unthinkable. I'll just digress for a second. I used to have arguments with my father, very religious man. And I do talk about that in the book also, but he would say to me, animals have a spirit. And I would say, does a cow have a spirit? He would say, yes, a cow has a spirit. I said, how do we know it was a good cow that it gets to go to heaven? And he would say the cow was good. I said, well, does that mean he was a good steak? Which, by the way, it didn't go well with my father at that point. But the cow comes back, even though he was a good steak or a bad steak. But, they have their own place in heaven.
Well, how about where you some people believe you come back and you come back in different levels. So, you know, you come back as, well, not as a human, like we were just talking about, as maybe an animal. And then you work your way up as being a human. And then you try each time to improve what your past life was.
Gary, I got to be honest with you. I never dwelt into that area of it, and that was never discussed with me. So I can't even touch the topic and say, yes, you're right, or no, you're wrong. But it seemed to me that animals and people do not mix. So that's the only thing I can say. I'm not saying it's written in stone, but that's what I believe that was going on at the time. That's the best I can give you.
Now, how about like people that claim that their house is haunted with ghosts, or you go into a mental institution, you know, that you know, or a prison that was a prison at one time where a lot of people have perished in it. And, you know, these people, you know, ghost hunters go around and they claim that they're getting voices from the dead spirits. People claim that they have ghosts walking through their front room. And then there's other ones, you know, that they seem to repeat the same thing again, like a tape recording over and over and over again. Is that a spirit or is that something else?
Well, first of all, you know, we seem to make a mistake when we call them ghosts because they're the same as us because they are us. They have the same emotions that we have, the same thought patterns that we have. But now, in the book, we talk about Michael. Michael disobeyed his mother at 9 years old. He took a dare against her wishes. He went out, fell down into a gully, broke his leg, shattered, I guess, an artery, and bled to death in 2006. And he was trapped in that sewer. And he couldn't get out. And he was tortured because he kept seeing his mother crying, and he couldn't come to her, and he was filled with guilt. So he trapped himself in that sewer. If in a mental institution or a prison where somebody was tortured or had a traumatic death, they may not be able to process the fact that they can leave and go to heaven. Unless, of course, they were in the prison for murder. That's a different story. But, I mean, in a mental institution, you know, it just means that their soul was tortured, their body was tortured, and the soul felt tortured. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do. And how about, too, like when we pass on, I mean, how long does it take to come back? Or could it be thousands of years? Or could it be minutes, seconds? Do you have any idea from talking to any of these entities you talk to?
No, I really don't. I think it all depends on what happens in heaven. And, you know, there's probably a finite amount of bodies for them to come back if they choose to go back in a body form and if they're allowed. So I can't say how long you're going to be out there, shall we say. But that doesn't mean that as a spirit you can't come back and visit your family, which happens. But I can't tell you exactly how long you're going to be waiting to get a new body.
Okay. And do you have any sequels in mind to your book?
I'm thinking about it, to be honest with you, because I talk to people all over the world about the book. They have questions. I mean, I'm up to crazy hours at night, maybe 2:30, talking to people in even Hong Kong, Nigeria, South Africa, Israel, Europe, Australia, and they have questions and I answer them. So the point is, if you have a question and you read the book, I'll answer the question. But I think maybe I have to write a follow-up. So I'm thinking about it. But let's just get this book finished, and, you know, where everybody reads it and they understand what's going on.
Now, do you have a website or anything you can share?
Yes. The website is marshall1lmorris.com. And you can read articles that I post in it, such as where we talk about cars that pass through each other. And there's two other instances of that happening, and the people actually got back to me on it and told me about it. The book has a Facebook site that I communicate with people also, called The Secret of All Things, and people reach me and I answer the questions. Well, so, yes, I have those two vehicles.
And where can they find your book?
The book is distributed through Amazon Books, and you want the Blue Series now. So the Blue 6x9 book, and it looks like, here, I'll hold it up. There you go. See the cute picture of me on the back?
Yeah, I do.
And you can get it on as an ebook or on Kindle. A lot of times people in Africa will get the Kindle book because they can't get the hard book. But you can get it those three ways. Remember, get the Blue Series. That's the one you want.
Well, great. Hey, Marshall, I want to thank you so much for coming on. You kind of got me to think more and more about life after death and all that stuff. And, you know, keep in touch with us, will you?
I will. And don't be afraid. There is a life after death. And people who are fearful of death, who are suffering because of terminal injury, illnesses, should not be afraid. They'll be okay.
Okay, sir. Well, you have a great weekend, and again, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Take care.
Thank you. Well, James, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit more about what we're going to be doing on Sundays?
Oh, boy. Sunday, you're going to be playing, well, we're going to be playing great music. We're going to be giving trucker news, trucker updates. What's going on with truckers today? You know, the economy, the gas, or the diesel. We're going to talk about some little bit of paranormal stories. We're going to have guest Robert Guffey come on and talk a little bit about some of the stuff he's doing with some conspiracy missing people case. And then we're going to try to get a trucker coming on who is a trucker, 30-year experience, talking about what's going on in his world of trucking.
Well, you know, one thing, we have a lot of truckers that listen to the show. A lot of them have reached out to us and said they're really ecstatic about having a show dedicated to them on Sundays. And again, it's going to be, we're going to cover paranormal subjects. We're going to talk about ghosts and scary things, and we're going to have a lot of fun. And we're going to talk naturally about what's going on in the trucking industry, how it's going to affect the consumer. And then we're going to play a lot of, well, new artists in the country. So you're going to hear a lot of country music. It's going to be, well, the first show will be about 2 hours long. Well, it will be 2 hours long. After that, it'll be a 3-hour show every Sunday. So I hope you tune in out there, tell your friends. And, you know, one of the trucker groups posted up on their group. They have like 22,000 members of truckers, and they have been just people constantly since they put it up there about our show, just messaging them like mad, saying, hey, where can I listen to the show at? Well, you can listen to the show on any of the apps. You can listen to us on some of the stations with iHeart, and you can find us everywhere. And we also will be broadcasting on YouTube also, and in the future we're going to be actually broadcasting on a couple other, like TikTok, also live. So we're going to extend what we're doing here on the show. Well, I'm off to the ER again right after the show, and I will catch everybody on Sunday. So everybody, you have a good one, and try to stay out of trouble and enjoy Labor Day and what's left of summer. Because the weather forecast where I'm at, you know, we've been hitting like 89, 90. It's typical weather. Not tomorrow, but next week is going to be in the mid-70s. I think summer is going to go by as fast as it came. Well, everybody, have a good one. We'll catch you later.